You don't have to. He just walked in.
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
We were waiting for you.
Yeah. Not that we're waiting for you, John.
All right, so we'll call the meeting to order. Was there anyone signed up for public comment? Is anyone in attendance wanting to participate in public comment? No? Okay, we'll move along then. Let's do roll call. You want to start?
One. No. Jay Chester. Pab.
Bill Bierke, Parks.
Matt Hall, Public Works.
Dave Weston, Pab.
John
Spencer, Pab.
Civil Crow Park Foundation.
Kale Pyland, Evergreen Public School.
Kelly Putney, Pab.
Barbara Anderson, Pab.
Kelsey Potter, Pab.
Here with Dan Park staff.
Right. You want to review the February minutes? Anyone want to make a motion if they look good?
I'll make the motion that we accept the meeting minutes from February 8th as presented.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Look at us flying through this agenda.
We know it's party time.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
volunteer hours. Here's your reminder and to do them. This is what always reminds me to go in and do them. So get those into back to Karen, right? Because she's back in full force, I think. Because we were sending them to Dora for a while. But I think it's Karen again. All right. Matt, do you have time constraints? Do you want to go first?
I'm fine.
Are you? Okay. I always like to offer that as an option because I see we have you here going last. So we'll start then at the Whipple Creek acquisition, Jeremy and Bill.
Jeremy, you want to start this one?
Sure.
Okay.
So you'll notice here in green, so Whipple Creek Park, and as we talked about last time, this is a little sliver that's on the market, and we talked about, obviously, if we wanted to pursue it or not pursue it, and I think the consensus was that we felt we should go for that one, given that land is not making more land. So it's 1 acre, just over 1 acre. We have not went out and had a site visit yet, but it could provide another access point to this park, which a park of this size, you know, you can never have too many access points, public access points. So whether it's a parking lot in the future or whatever, you know, it is surrounded by, all this is leased out, just like this off of 21st here. But in the meantime, we can be an access point to the lessee also. So we don't restrict public access to this, obviously, the equestrian parking lot. So, pretty straightforward. I think we just want a motion from you guys approving that we pursue acquisition of this parcel if at all possible.
Do we have the information?
The fact sheet?
Yeah, the fact sheet.
So that was just kind of a location map in the county. Here it is, here in Blue Diamonds.
Yep. I-5, here's the fairgrounds right here, 179th Street. And then here's what we're looking at right here. So just about a mile south or west of I-5, 179.
Now, is that outside the UGA?
Yes, so here's the UGA right here. So the UGA actually touches.
But we can do it because it touches our district.
It's
I just want to make sure we don't get caught in a.
We've never done this far away from the edge of the district, we've done four touches. Uh-huh. It's outside. So Hopkinson is one of those, and more recently Prairie Fields is another one where it touches the UGA. So we bought a piece just on the outside. This one's up a little farther, yeah. But you know what?
Can we ask Amanda if we're going to get in trouble over this?
We can ask the question.
Yeah.
Amanda, so
because I'm so for this. I'm in Park District
sure.
10. I think it's a great idea.
Well, the one thing
but I don't want them to come back later. And punish us for not doing our due diligence.
Right. So yes, so we can ask to see if this would qualify for PIFs, even if it's not touching the line.
Yeah.
But it does. The one thing about this is a regional park, and even with community parks serve a 1 to 3 mile radius, right? So if we took that into consideration, you know, all of a sudden you're out.
Yeah.
Right. So you are serving.
Oh, I don't dispute that.
So I think
yeah.
that might be our possible justification.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Well, I will move that contingent on positive feedback from our legal staff that we encourage staff to pursue purchase of the Whipple Creek, whatever number this is.
Williams Properties.
All right, the Whipple Creek Williams property.
Do you want to put up property? Do what? The fact sheet?
I mean, you're getting any purchase vetted by PA, right? So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
What was your question?
Well,
how did you say?
Well, I mean, do you want it part of the motion then? I mean, the attorneys look at every purchase accounting.
Well, yeah.
That's why.
That's true. I guess just the fact that it's outside the UGA is the only thing that brings me discomfort.
Okay. I just need to know how to write it.
Well, yeah, because we would not want to pursue forward until we know that. I'm sorry for being a nitpick on that.
If we're going to say that, though, let's say because of the regional park we feel.
Okay, you can add that in. I think that's a good addendum, Kelly.
Seems like this lotion is growing.
Well, the recording better be working, so.
It's on.
Is there a second?
Does anyone want a second?
I'm seconding.
Okay, it's been seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right.
Okay. We want to move on then, or?
Okay. Yeah, unless you have anything.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
More exciting to let us know about
we
it.
We did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The all-PAB meeting debrief. Let's include Barbara in this discussion too. Barbara, Jay, thoughts?
I thought it went well. We had a limited attendance due to the weather and. I thought it went well. We had the presentation, joint presentation actually from Deeb and from PAB. Eric Guillermo was there. Very cordial, I thought. Very beneficial. It showed cooperation and progress. I think our next steps, just so everybody knows from there, is to come up with a document to get to the counselors that show that we've got agreements and we've got disagreements and we acknowledge each other's agreements and disagreements. The one thing I was heartened by was there was a brief discussion. Well, it turned out to be a longer discussion about putting innovation into our parks and the designs and all inclusive versus different types of parks. The lady from Ridgefield,
Sandra.
Is that
right?
Sandra. Yeah.
Yeah. She said that they just created a park that has a bunch of stumps and a river in it and a creek and kids are playing all over them. And, of course, everybody's like, oh, my gosh, that's lawyer's heyday there, and, yes, and turned out that it wasn't. Everybody signs off an agreement, and they have big signs up and everything else. I think that's still to be proven, maybe.
Yeah.
But it was, to me, that was kind of a nice benefit. And you know, the real purpose of the ALPAD is for everybody to exchange ideas and where you are about this and where we are on this. That's kind of my takeaway. Barbara?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see more people engaged. Obviously, I was disappointed in the poor turnout. Damned weather. I mean, it's March, for Pete's sake. And I think that innovative presentation, I'd love to see it on the next agenda as well. You know, one of the things that was one of the primary drivers in establishing the PAP was this sharing of information, and maybe even going as far as working together a little more.
Yes.
You know, and this is just showing how it can work given the right nurturing. So yeah, it's good, and I hope that it moves forward.
Well, I think our next steps for the ALPAB is to find the next host, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'd like to see us put the park innovation, or innovations for parks, on innovation for the park designs on the agenda and make that a focus. I think each meeting should have a focus point, because, you know, because of the deed, that stimulated the other conversations. Yeah. So.
Now, did you all receive those PowerPoints that I sent out from Ridgefield on the innovative maintenance? I mean, some of those designs are just exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So we could use those as a bouncing post.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a couple of years since she, you know, put those together, but they're just as fresh today in the fact that we've not moved forward on implementation of these concepts. I'd love to see one of our next parks looking like one of those.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, out there in Park District 10 in Cowtown, what better than a Western front like that one?
Mm-hmm. There was a letter to the editor in the Columbian this week, I don't know if you saw it, about a young man who lives in your PIC district asking for a skate park at your park.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know,
and I meant to bring that up because
he's probably that. You know, we took in to the counselors, because when they pulled out the park, the skate park from fairgrounds, that was a real contentious area. They said that we didn't need it. And we had young guys from, and I say guys because it was all boys, we started a little group over at my house. And we walked and we took in, over one weekend, 700 signatures to the counselors to say, there is interest and support for this in this area. And we still haven't got it.
And something about that, I had two neighbor boys knock on my door 3 weeks ago asking if we could get some sort of skate park components in Sorensen. And one thing I think we can start doing, and this is going on about the innovative park design,
there's room
not
there.
Necessarily a giant skate park, but even the rails up.
Yep.
So they can do, like, it doesn't have to be a whole thing dedicated to a skate park, and that might make it easier for neighbors who associate skate parks for whatever reason with, you know, they have a NIMBY sort of attitude about them. But this could be a way at least start incorporating, like, even those rails. They would be in there just doing those. It doesn't have to be the bowls or whatever. So, it's a good point. There is definitely a demand.
There is a huge demand over in that area.
I told the boys they'd have to get back to me with letters from their friends and all that, and I haven't seen them since. And I was like, I'm not doing all this work for you, so go out there and...
Well, they're willing to do it. They just need in high school, they need a little more guidance is all.
Yeah, these are fifth graders, so I think there goes the ball. We have to go now. But yeah, there is definitely that need, and I want to see that.
Well, maybe when I get settled in the new house, I'll mentor them.
Yeah.
Because that is something that's needed, and I'd be happy to work with them in getting that.
I think we need more of that.
Yeah, we, guy lived over near you, owned the place over near, you know, JJ Jump, the thing that was right next to it, the skate park.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what it was called. He owned that. And at the time, I even brought this to you, Bill, that he was willing to pay for all the metal rails. to put it in. And we got all these people holding their hands up saying they donate. We just couldn't get the counselors on board because of the bad image that they have. So we need to work on mending that image before we can make any real progress. I don't know why they can do it on the other side of town.
Yeah.
You know?
Bring it to the west side.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
If I might add, I thought you guys did a great job with the presentation, and it was a summary of a lot of work that you guys put into as a subcommittee with Deeb, talking about the standards and all that. So that was really well put together. So thank you for doing that.
I agree. That was good.
Yeah,
you did a good job.
Okay.
All right. We good with the All-PAD meeting and skate parks in general? Yay. PIF trails inclusion debrief, Bill and myself.
Sure. So yeah, that was the PIF trails inclusion. So of course I missed the grand finale. I was out sick that day, but I thank Barbara and Kelsey for showing up and providing testimony. I think that was great, and a lot of support behind it. So I thought that was wonderful. The counselors were all over it once we pulled the calculations out of the code. And so I'm happy to say that we brought this to the finish line, and now that we can include trails acquisition and development with the use of PIF. So that's great. It's a major step forward for all of us, so that's cool.
The next step was to get some money into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a way.
One thing to make it possible, now we just got to find ways to
get it funded, right?
Because the stock is cheap.
The now can be used for it, right?
What's that?
Any PIF dollars that get collected now going forward.
From the time it was implemented forward, yes. Yes. So all the regular PIFs that we're going to collect anyways can actually be used. But I don't know. This is a good question that maybe Amanda could help with that sometime. Is I don't think we can go backwards on what we've earned so far. I think it's just from that day forward.
We're hearing.
Yeah. So we'll actually probably have to establish yet another line for PIF.
That's why my comment was made.
Yep.
So it would be like, do we still have the combined, or the separate, the acquisition funds?
Until we expend it down to zero, yes.
So we'd have an acquisition, a combined, and then a trails combined?
Right.
Okay.
Can we go back, since we're talking about PIFs, with the motion for Whipple Creek? Our argument was that it's regional.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well,
but
it's outside the urban unincorporated.
Right.
So it's not touching the line.
Right.
That's the argument.
Okay.
It is a regional park. It doesn't say that PIFs have to be for specifically neighborhood or community.
Okay. That was.
It can be for parks.
Okay.
Real quickly touching on the trails, the PIF testimony. I was sort of caught off guard. I think Barbara and I both were about how many people showed up to testify against it.
Yeah.
And sort of the misinformation about how parks are funded and trails. And so I think that's why it's important that we keep trying to show up, at least a couple of us, to those hearings where those topics are being discussed, because one person thought it was a tax on homeowners, mm-hmm. and the other person just thought, I mean, she's using like Chulachki Prairie Trail as an example. Like, we're building trails here, we're not finishing them here, and it's like, this is just for the MPD. It has, you know, there's just a lot of information about the whole issue. So again, just a friendly reminder, when one of us can show up to testify, it's really good to do that. Because I was talking to one of the counselors after, and she said, you know, they're not in a position to really correct the public when they state misinformation. But it's good if we can come and say, well, actually, on the PAB, we're a little more familiar with that. And no, it's not a tax on homeowners. It's a one-time tax on developers. And just sharing that information.
Yeah.
Because it does change the public perspective. Like, I'd be curious to go talk to the gentleman who testified against it afterwards and be like, are you still against it now that you know it's not a tax? So, anyways.
And just a quick reminder that, you know, as Parks Advisory Board, when we go to the schools for PTA meetings and such, that's also, I use that as a window to advocate and educate on issues like this, because the misconception voiced by them is carried by many. And getting these things passed and getting support is often correcting that concept. But take opportunities when you're out and about in your different visitations to share that. I know the moms group has me speak on a regular basis because of the rotating membership. But yeah, we need to do a better job of advocating to the public that's something we can do.
Anything else?
Is there anything we can take out of yesterday's State of the County? I mean, this is kind of off topic, but it's on topic in the sense of us and our communication with them, with the counselors.
I don't know.
Bill?
I wasn't able to listen, so
I didn't listen to it.
Oh.
I didn't go for the
yeah,
first time.
Sorry.
All I saw was the county manager board outside. That's the only thing I saw.
That was the first year I missed in several, and I couldn't make it. So.
I didn't either.
I meant
Kelly, you get back to us on the State of the County and tell us what we need to do. We're all
what
like, I couldn't
take on
Jay,
it,
like,
Kelly?
I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. I just couldn't bring myself to it.
We didn't do our homework.
It's the first time I've missed it in years.
Sorry.
On that note, right?
I'd like to take a minute. We had our one of our attendees come in late. Sybil, you want to introduce?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. It's just the first time we've gotten a chance to meet you, so.
Well, I've talked about Del Ann for the last couple of meetings, and now you get a chance to meet her. This is Del Ann Redju. And she's our new executive director. And she's been on board about 2 weeks now.
And 2 whole weeks.
So. Did you have anything you want to say?
No, I'm sorry. I started on a project and all of a sudden looked at the time. You know how that goes.
It's happened to
all
of us.
We all do.
Yes. I'm a perfect example here. Thank you, Don. Thank you.
Exactly.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
Yes, thank you.
We do consider the Parks Foundation a major partner, so we will be looking forward
I'll
to
be here every month.
And we look forward to continuing on and enhancing the relationship. So.
Once I figure out what that exactly entails.
We totally understand. Yes.
You getting us lots of money for projects.
That's
we
part
want
I knew. That's what I knew.
The relationship. Pretty much.
Yeah. That part I got right off the bat.
Speaking of money, Laura, do you want to come tell us that you got like $20 million for the Lewis and Clark Trail and grants?
Good job.
Oh, all right. That would be great. But.
I'm still getting used to seeing my new title. So there it is. But Kelly, thank you for advocating for that. We're really excited about the possibilities moving forward. So, speaking of Kelly, thank you again for your work on the trails. This is from your presentation in 2006.
Wow.
And back at that time, we identified 46.1 miles and 9.5 miles have been built. More mileage has been built in the trail due to efforts from some of the jurisdictions. We're really excited about everybody getting on board with that. And everybody seems to be excited about the project overall. My goal is to actually determine how many miles have been completed so that when we go after funding, those numbers can be updated. But it's an exciting project. This is an example of the maps, and I've got an example of the draft maps for each of the areas completed so far. The map includes, you can't really see it, but there's a green line there of existing trail. We've got connections going up into interest points, as well as connections to the cities, and which was part of our goal for that geotourism piece, getting people connected to the communities and opportunities. You can see where parking and some of the trailhead where those are located to. We can get tripped up on them. So this is Cascade Park to Camas. The first one was Washoe Gulch to Camas, and then this is we're moving west. So you can see some more points of interest. We'll see a lot more activity happening in points of interest from Columbia Springs moving west. But there's lots of connectors here that you can see with the dotted lines. So here's a lot of busy stuff here going on, but there's lots of opportunities for people to see other things. There's some other parks. We've got the Arboretum over here. Columbia Springs was back this way. So as we move west, there's lots of opportunities for activities, connection to the community, as well as some alternative maps and connectors. So that's pretty exciting. And Burt Bridge Creek, which is part of our lake-to-lake trail system as well. So lots of opportunities for trail walking, hiking, biking, et cetera.
Nice. Can you go back to that one for a moment?
Yes.
I see the trail on the waterfront is really eliminated in this one. You're up on the Evergreen Highway.
So, yes.
You call that an alternative trail route.
It's
the first I've seen that.
Okay. And the reason for that is there's a lot of pushback from the people who live down at the river. And so we didn't want to eliminate it completely, even though that's kind of what they wanted to see. They're like, you know, over my dead body, you're not going to do this. But that's still our vision. That's still our 50-year vision that we would love to have it down by the waterfront.
Glad to see it not completely disappear.
Right. Yeah. And that was where we were at, too. It's like, let's still leave it on there. But this right now, there's a group that's already working on that. They have a trail plan ready. The city likes this alignment because it helps them get the sidewalks in. If we're showing that this is a pathway for the Lewis and Clark Trail, it opens up the door for lots of grant opportunities to complete those sidewalks. The fact that they adopted the complete streets as well, that also helps them open the doors for different grant opportunities like the alternative transportation program.
Now they'll have the parking issue on Evergreen, though. So
right.
I think they kind of maybe caved a little bit too soon. Get on with your. I didn't.
Right, that is the issue right now. But yeah. So anyway, we're hoping they'll park at the trailhead. Maybe it's our booking.
No, I mean the neighborhood park.
Oh, the neighborhood, yeah. So this was our dream. So we had a couple of dreams. One was along the river in the city of Vancouver area. And then we had this dream to have this wonderful figure-eight loop around Vancouver Lake and the wildlife areas and, you know, getting people connected to nature and meeting all of our goals to get people outside, get them moving. We know connection to nature does a lot of great things like reducing stress, gets people moving, just lots of really great benefits that way. So then we have some other challenges that came in. The National Park Service invited stakeholders to come to a meeting to talk about what are some of the challenges in moving the trail from Vancouver Lake north to Ridgefield. After that meeting and all of us being asked to provide alternatives for the trail moving north, we received a letter from the Department of Fish and Wildlife, both the U.S. and the state of Washington. Within that letter, they start out really nice, thanking for the opportunity to get together. You know, we're really excited about opportunities to collaboratively to work together. You know, we all have the same goal to get people outside and involved in outdoor recreation. And that's where that kind of stopped. And so this letter continues in about 4 pages, and then we received an additional 5-page letter of concerns with documentation towards research. So we'll be sending that one to you in an email so you can have the links and look at that at your leisure. So what it came down to is we had 3 top alternatives and they finally agreed to our 3rd choice. And that's this pink line here. So
can you trace that with your fingers?
Yeah. So starting down here, so we're like down city of Vancouver, both this way. So you can come up here, but you can't go here. And this right here is that right-of-way with the highway. The, how do you say that, Irwin-O'Regan?
Irwin-O'Regan, yeah.
And so this has been eliminated. So if you come up here, you have to come down and then go this way. The folks in Philida, our goal is still to make that connection to the Philida community, but they would have to come in and the same thing, come down and around and up. And I'm going to give you some close-ups to see what that looks like a little bit on the next few slides, to see some of those challenging points. When we looked at the map, the National Park Service had laid out several different options according to conversations. And we looked at that, and then after our discussions and knowing the layout of the land and landowners, we kind of combined some of those ideas in our final offering in the alternatives that we offered to the National Park Service. So, of course, Fish and Wildlife said our first and second choices go here, so in the land of far, far away from the lake. And so those are just road alignments, which would work great for an alternative bike route, but it's not so much going to work for the people that want to get out into nature. Right. You know, we like to see the water on our walk. We like to see nature while we're walking. So while this is not our first choice, it's a nice compromise to hopefully make something happen in the future. And it's not that we're going to keep our other waterways off of it. It's like we will still continue to say these are alternatives in the future if things ever change. So here's one of the challenging points. As I mentioned, they're asking to take that out of the picture, so we don't have that nice.
And they are who again?
The Department of Fish and Wildlife, both U.S.
Both state
and state. Yep.
Wow.
So we do have a gap if we go along Lower River Road. There's a gap between here and getting back to our right-of-way on the highway. But there is a natural access road there. So,
Laura, what do you think I can't imagine that they would fear damage to the environment from hikers.
There's a safety concern with hunting because it is a hunting area.
Right.
Dogs is another concern for theirs because of the disturbance to the wildlife, as well as, you know, there's signs that people should have their dogs on leashes, but we know it already happens in our parks. Mm-hmm.
So, valid points.
Yeah. So we might have to talk about natural barriers along the trailway.
There's a Perrin Rookery right there where the X is at as well.
And that's, I just put the X there. They're saying don't go there.
That alternate that you were showing on that dike, what was the point of showing that? On the left?
On where?
The left over image. Here? I mean, I know the dike. I'm just curious because it goes to the lake river. Where you're thinking that would loop it? Or?
That's so we can make the connection back
right
over, because that's where we're going to be able to get back to our alignment.
And Fish and Wildlife is okay with that? Or?
We'll have to talk about that. But in discussions, yes.
Well, what's interesting about this, and it came up in discussion, is that piece is now a private holding. But the landowner, because he was at that meeting as well, he actually proposed that connection there across the property. So that was actually a positive thing.
Very hopeful. We got pretty excited about that.
Yes.
And they even tried to ask him again, are you sure? Yeah, that'd be all right. They stay off my property. They're good there. Nice viewpoint that way, too. Yeah. So as we move north, so we're back on the Irwin-O'Regan Highway. And so as we get to this point, that's the point where we get into the wildlife refuge. That's a no-go. They're saying you can't come into our area. So then we have to come across over to our property. And I can't read that. What is that, Bill? Remember what property that is?
I think it's Green Lake.
Green Lake. So they're proposing that we come across over to our conservation futures land, legacy land, So to do that, we would have to build a highway. The other challenge is that this goes right through private property, and the landowner is named right there. It's the Columbia Garden Company. So some negotiations might have to happen with them, but this is a right-of-way. All right, we'll move on to the next one. Next challenge. So we're moving, we're trying to move from our property here up to our next property at Flume Creek. There's a pinch point right here where the land becomes very narrow. We've got the railroad growing through. The slope is really steep. So this is the point where we might have a feature like a floating trail, which might draw people in.
So expensive to maintain.
But yes, and then there's all the environmental concerns. Yeah. You know, we have to make sure that we have sound barriers for fish and driving stakes and different things going on. But thankfully, we've got Kevin to help us with permitting for that.
He's okay.
Right.
He's okay.
Make it happen. Along with all of these challenges, though, we do have a lot of people who are very supportive, very excited about the idea. So we're hoping with their support, we'll be able to make these things happen. But just identifying that, yeah, there's still challenges to get up to our Flume Creek property. And not only that, but getting across the railroad tracks as we move north.
What's interesting about the Flume Creek property, that piece, is that we have an underpass under the railroad there. We haven't seen it yet, but we're hoping that we can potentially use it. So that's our hope.
That would be considered the same.
Yes.
So with that said, we're getting together again with the National Park Service this month on the 22nd. We'll be reviewing all of these maps. We'll be talking about are there destination points that we want on these maps? Are there other highlights that we want noted? And one of our meetings, we had people putting different symbols on the map, including the wine glass to show where the wineries are, and different points of interest where people might wander in and get some commerce going in local communities. So we'll be talking about those things, talking about the look of the report overall, and then the next steps. What are we going to do for outreach? How will we promote the trail? What are some funding sources in looking at the trail? I had a conversation with Judith Perez at our Washington State Department of Transportation. She's looking at identifying this project as a priority for alternative transportation, which I got really excited about, and we'll continue to follow up with her on that. But they're very interested in this project because it's a regional project. It touches all the way around. It connects to a national trail. So they are very, very interested in this project. She has presented the idea already to others in the state and brought it up at meetings, regional meetings. So I was really excited to hear that. So I tried to keep it short and sweet so we could move on. Do you have any questions about any of the information?
Well, I'm just excited that I see nothing there that'll even slow us down.
Way to be optimistic.
So the positive side is we already have communities that are actively working. I mean, you guys are doing your work out in Kamloops and Washubo. City of Vancouver is doing work. Everybody is doing pieces of the work already. We're just going to have to do what we can to continue to press towards that completion. As you can see, that's the original Lewis and Clark Trail. This is the Washington piece. And this is the piece of the puzzle that we're trying to get to. And then we're hoping to connect with other folks and other communities to get it all the way to Astoria. So it's really an exciting project. Will I see it complete in my lifetime? Boy, that'd be awesome. But I don't know if it will, but I'm going to do what I can to help continue to move it forward. And I'm just really excited that the Department of Transportation is on board as well right now.
So oh, it is a transportation issue.
It is. Yeah. And alternative transportation, we know, creates healthy communities. So.
Was there any discussion or ideas as to the Hunter Trail user conflict over there?
Possibly closing sections of trail during hunting season. Of course, they wanted to extend that towards nesting seasons as well. Mm-hmm. Those are all going to have to be points of discussion.
Okay.
In the future.
I was just curious.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is, you know, that's a valid concern. We don't want people being shot at.
No.
About that.
I feel like our maps of that area down there are confusing. You don't really show up the final route because you've got all the alternatives and there's so many lines.
Oh, and that one is confusing. All we have right now is just that alternatives map. By our meeting, we should have a draft of the final, so it's less convoluted.
It doesn't feel that.
Right, so I'm
because
hoping
if we don't see a vision of how that's really going to go, now that we've gone through all the alternatives, mm-hmm. we'll never get those bridges and overpasses that mm-hmm. are going to cost millions.
Right, those are tough. Yep. Those are tough. So, but I'm not going to say never.
So, before Diana left Parks Foundation, she had been talking to ANA about being a possible funding source. Can you go back and show us where does our alignment kind of have like a pop-off to them? Because I can't see them wanting to be helping with funding if we're not connecting anywhere close to their location.
It goes right past the casino, right into the city of the center.
So we could just have like a small trail that cuts.
It's actually part. It'll actually be part of the trail. The main trail.
If you look at the county's trail plan, it works. It's not close enough to the Columbia River to be on this map necessarily.
So yeah. So from here, it actually goes across. It goes right over into the center.
Okay.
Ties into the.
And then from there, it's going to go up to, of course, Woodland and out of the county. So.
Except like the
DMA
floating bridge, I said that.
There you go.
Hey. So I just want to make sure if we have partners in the community who are willing to, you know, private, public partners.
Potentially have big bucks.
We should, you know, we talked about that was one of the concerns with Seed is what are we doing to, you know, connect with private companies and private businesses, the parks department. So.
Absolutely. That's what took us from the 46 to the 50-mile trail.
Yes, and that's what I'm telling you. You can do these Centennial Trails that brings in people who want that 100-mile loop for bike competitions and stuff, which we're so close, we might as well make it 50 so we can be a destination location for those bike events. So.
Absolutely. We want to access as many funding sources as we can, maybe not just blending, but braiding them together so that all the pieces can fit. So that's my hope. And then along those lines, we are working on funding priorities and for the division. And so looking at that, what are the priorities? What are the relationships we want to build? Where do we want to reach out to? We're really looking towards the Parks Foundation and helping with that process. For some of these projects, especially this one where it's regional, will be ongoing, so it'll be one of those building the account kind of things. But that's our hope to have your help in developing those relationships and building that up. So, any other questions or anything else you wanted to look at?
One last comment, and that is, you know, the Lewis and Clark Trail really acts as the spine for all of our regional trails. So you've got the Lewis and Clark Trail here, and then from that, you know, we've got the Round Lake Trail here. Round Lake Trail that's going in right here right now, so that's about half done and going forward. And so, you know, we're probably more than 3/4 of the way between the two lakes. You know, that's a huge regional connection. So we got a little piece here, and then we just talked to our developers who are working on Section 30 from Pacific to Harmony, and reinforcing the fact that we need a trail, you know, and not block. And then from there, we can connect into Burbridge Creek Trail, and then going east right down to Lackamas Heritage Trail. So I think we're not that far away. So this actually has a great spine for all the trails that interconnect to Clark County. So it's we want to really push this thing forward.
So one of the things I was pushing for is we have this the national trail system, and this is what this is. Mm-hmm. And we have state trail system, which is actually the Lewis and Clark Railroad, or what do we call it, Sledge.
And the highway corridor.
Which goes all the way to Tri-Cities. Tri-Cities to Yakima.
Right.
And then we got the regional stuff, and then we have the city, the various cities within that have trails, and then we have the unincorporated urban area.
Correct.
So we've got really four trail systems here.
Thank you
for your time.
Thank you. Good job. Thank you. Nice job, Laura. I just see someone sitting on top of this.
All right. Bill, City of Vancouver, PIF cross boundary proposal, pros and cons.
Fun.
Let's
see if we can find it here. Okay. So it's got this down kind of deeper in your packets. So is this up on the screen or not? I don't know if it is or not. This is kind of going to have to kind of rely on the packet document. Is the map up, Jeremy? I've been the map up on this one. Is it possible to turn that?
Yep.
Hey, Laura, did your map make it in here?
Yes. It's on the back. And the packet is on the back side.
This one?
To the other one.
Oh, here we go. If you look on the back side of the, there's a map here. If you look on the back side, this is one that we'll put together, so it kind of shows you a little bit more clear detail. That's one, really. Oh, there you go. Okay. And so, the City of Vancouver, a couple months ago, proposed to us that they would like to do a PIF overlay that extends about a mile and a half into our county PIF districts. And with that, what the driving force here was they wanted to reach out into Camas to pick up a piece of property that I don't think Camas is going to buy, which we consider kind of a critical component to the Lewis and Clark Trail. It wasn't in the property on Camas.
Grunville,
is that right? Yeah, Grunville. It's right on the old Evergreen Highway.
Spell. Is it R-U-N?
G-R-O-O-E-N-V-E-L-D, something like that. And it's outside of the city of Vancouver limits, inside of Camas. And I don't think they have the capacity to buy that property. And the opportunity to buy that property is going away pretty quickly. There's an elderly person who wants it to be in public holding, but we don't know if the siblings are interested. So City of Vancouver is trying to move pretty quickly. In order to do that, they're going to have to expand their range out to about a mile and a half into the city of Camas. So when they took a look at that originally, then they started thinking, hey, you know, we probably should be taking a look on a more regional scale here. So they looked at everything around the city limits. And so they used half the distance of what a community park range is. So a community park is 1 to 3 miles. So they said, let's put the difference. Let's go up a mile and a half into county holdings. So that's what you're seeing right here with these circles. And so outside the city boundaries into the county. So with that, this is preliminary. Just by no means are we saying yes to this at this time. This is definitely what I want your help with in determining how we should move forward with this. And so what we came up with was a list of pros and cons. You know, what does this mean for us to allow this to occur? What does it mean? What could it potentially be that we would consider of concern to us? And so going down this list, on the positives first, the interlocal agreement reestablishes a partnership between City of Vancouver and Clark County, which was severed back in 2013. I don't think we will ever be back to the same relationship that we had in the past. But
never say never.
Never say never. But I think that this will help, you know, bring that relationship closer together. So we've actually been very, you know, very cooperative with each other ever since then. It was kind of our political, our electeds that had the big issues. We as peers have always been, we've always gotten along very well with them. So we really appreciate the relationships that we have with our neighboring cities. Number two, the joint PIF balances with leverage. So we can combine our PIF balances, you know, for acquisition and development purposes, which is great. Number three, opens the door for joint grant applications for acquisition and development. So when we're going jointly into an RCO grant, I think that does better our chances, obviously.
Yeah, get extra points.
Yep. Number four, improves prospects for finding new properties. So if we have more eyes looking for that open bid, open and available lands, that's great. Five may improve our ability to fund more trails. So I don't think that they have that ability yet, but they might be going that direction. So just like us. So if we can leverage our funding. And then, of course, you know, we want to connect city trails to county trails. And there again, we could probably work on grants together. Number six may lead to many other partnership opportunities, which means, you know, if we go into a joint effort on and doing this, this could lead to something more. So, as in trails planning. Number seven, regardless of who manages the lands, the citizens will be the beneficiaries. So our citizens really don't care if it's county holding or city holding. They care that there's a partner, yeah. Right? So in the end, this isn't necessarily...
That should be the first one.
I was going to say exactly.
So, I mean, I don't know if we have to put up our guard and say, you know, let's have a turf war. I don't know if that really matters because in the end, it's still a public holding. It's still for park purposes. That's a positive, right? Number eight, assures the city of Vancouver does not go into concurrency. So I don't know what their status is with their PIF dollars right now. They may be entering concurrency. And the city of Vancouver is fairly well built out right now. And they probably held on to some of these funds in some of their districts for quite a long time. And so they've got 10 years to expend. They may be looking for new territory so they can expend dollars. And what their consolidated districts are now, A, B, and C, right? We still have the... Five through ten, they've now got A, B, and C using the highway alignments, but they're probably looking very desperately for properties. And so, if they can find something outside that's a bit open available, they can expend their monies, which is a benefit to our citizens.
It's called long-range planning.
Yep. So that was that's what we came up with for the positives, and then so of course the counterbalance is the negatives. So what does that mean to us? So number one. So if we're not jointly purchasing property together, that means it reduces our prospects for property. So if we're looking for property in an area and they snap it up, that's money that we didn't spend from PIF.
That's a positive.
What's that?
That's a positive.
If they ever build it.
Well, if we're looking at concurrency,
yeah.
Yeah, the competition might be a problem for us. So I don't think
we'd be in competition with another government agency, and I think that's a positive.
In the way of competition, what I mean by that is if we're in concurrency, which means we have to spend the money or lose it, and they have to do the same thing, and if they get to a property before we do, we can lose our money and give it back to the taxpayers.
That would be a great problem to have.
So, anyways, moving on. So, 4.1 of what they have proposed to us, the document states that the City of Vancouver overlays will become part of the underlying Vancouver Park Impact Fee District. So basically, whatever they do take over, I think that where they're going with this is they want to start collecting the PIF fees in that area. So that would become city PIF.
So in other words, they won't be split.
Maybe.
It would all be going into
right. Vancouver. Yeah, anything within those circles would go to Vancouver from here on out. And then there's a potential that they could potentially ask for previous earnings in those areas, which would be very difficult for our staff to try to split that back out.
So maybe, well, keep going.
Okay. So that is a concern of ours, and so with that, there's some assumptions. It says assumption that City of Vancouver will collect current and future PIF funds in the area. Second assumption is that City of Vancouver may ask for previous PIF earnings, and so that's what we just talked about. And so we don't know if that's truly the case yet or not, but what do we read that kind of indicates that, 4.1. So, number three, proposal indicates that existing MPD parks in these areas would be transferred to the city. And so, with that, the 35 MPD parks that were promised with the levy, the Metropolitan Park District levy to get passed, there's language between the city and the county that superseded our interlocal agreement, and that is during annexation. If the city of Vancouver annexes into the county and affects any one of these 35 properties, we give them the property. We also continue to pay the city of Vancouver for the maintenance of that property because we are collecting the Metropolitan Park District dollars in that area, whether it's annexed or not, right? So we've already done that just recently with Kelly Meadows,
makes sense.
So any of these parks that you see that are within these circles will be looking at those going over to the city of Vancouver and then paying them to maintain those. The only ones that are not affected are the ones that are not 35 parks, right? So in that, you might see Hayscale Park over here, Orchard Park. Those are not part of the original 35. So those could be negotiated.
Why is that in the negative category?
What's that?
What you're just saying.
I don't know.
It seems like that's a neutral. I mean,
it fairly is. I mean
you're clearly saying it's a negative.
It comes down to territory. Should we be maintaining the parks that we've always maintained, or should we just hand them over to the city and let them maintain them? It's a discussion point. It's not
maybe,
a negative.
Maybe what we ought to do with this, though, is do a negative, neutral, and positive.
Yeah, you do that.
And so when you say negative, it's certainly those people that don't like the city or don't like change in a position of arguing whether it's right thing or wrong thing to do.
Right. Well, I could actually pull the negative off and just say concerns.
That would be okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Kelly Meadows is an MPD park, right?
Yes.
Schaefer, was that an MPD park?
No.
And does the city have any obligation to build the MPD parks before their other park in that district, like we were doing?
I don't know. That's a question for the city.
Because they took over Kelly Meadows, and then they bumped us down the list so they can do Schaefer and something else. So I was just curious.
Well, didn't they say that? What's the name of the 44-acre property they just bought?
Fenton.
Didn't they just say all their PIF fees are going to that property now, so wouldn't everything else be on hold?
That's what she said, but it doesn't make sense because it's in a
different district.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so maybe all the PIF fees for that district. I think that's.
I thought it said she said in that paper it said all the PIF fees collected in the city are going to Fenton.
Okay. Yeah, but you can't do that. You can't do that.
They can't do that.
They can't do that.
I wonder if she meant in district C.
Maybe she must have.
Yeah.
Okay.
So moving on to concerns, not that. Okay. So if we do, in fact, lose a bunch of parks, you know, over to the city, we transfer those over, it would probably trigger employee transfer agreement. So some of my employees that are performing parks maintenance will be transferred over to the city. We've done that in the past, the Cascade Park annexation. I think we lost like 4 or 5 employees back at the time, something like that. So
we got somebody from the city here.
Yes, we did. Yeah. When we formed our parks division, we took Jeremy and Eric over from the city. So yeah, we got it.
It works both ways.
All right. So a good portion of the land areas of 5th District 5, 6, 7 is planned to be annexed. So that's just keep in mind that their annexation plan. Do you want to pop that one up there, Jeremy?
Did they provide this map, or did we put this together?
Actually, Laura actually provided that one. So the one that they provided us was this one.
Because the annexation that just happened isn't shown on there. So the one that's around 7, I think, actually moved north.
Oh, and
that
was the old map.
Which one is?
So, like, it's showing Kelly Meadows on this other map is out, and they annex, you know, all the way up Costco.
Right,
so
yeah. Right,
that whole
right.
bubble moves north.
Yeah, so this piece right here is annexed down.
Okay.
And so this is our future annexation map. If you look closely, most of all their circles kind of coincide with what you're seeing here. It says a 1 to 5 year annexation. Don't know if that's actually going to happen or not. You know, they annex when they can.
40 years ago.
Yeah, they just got done with the Vancouver Mall North annexation. It could be 5 to 10 years before they do the next annexation. We don't know that. So it's whenever they're ready to pull the trigger, basically. So just wanted to bring that to your attention. So whether we say, let's say we said, oh, no, we don't want to do this. At some point in time, the annexation is going to occur, and then they will end up with this anyways. So we're asking, you know, why is there a push? This is more of a question. Why is there a push to do this now ahead of annexation? Because right now, our agreement language does state that, yes, we will do a transfer of properties upon annexation. This is not an annexation. This is, you know, a request to go to an agreement to transfer property. And so that's what we have to put our collective heads together and decide what we want to do here. So number 4 defines agreements could be challenging to keep all parties happy, and it's hard to say. I mean, the idea is we play well together in on the benefit of our citizens, right? So in the end, our citizens benefit regardless if we're city or county. Number 5, the timing of this request might raise serious concerns among Clark County councilors. So we don't know what the councilor is going to say about this. You know, so At some point in time, we need to bring this to their attention. Probably after the next meeting, April, is when Monica Tuberville and Julie Hatton will be here to present on this, so you can get their perspective on this. I'm going to share this list with them so they know exactly what we talked about at this meeting. So they'll be prepared.
With the modifications?
Yes. Yeah, with the negative. So, any questions?
So my immediate reaction is good. You know, as Kelly said, it's long-range planning. Mm-hmm. These are urbanizing areas. Therefore, it makes sense for a city to be controlling them or planning for their future. So, on that level, it makes a ton of sense to me.
Now, do you know why Camas isn't snatching at this money. Property that's driving?
For your money. They just don't have the cash.
It's just financial.
Lackawanna North Shore. Yeah. There's millions of that.
But if you look at some of the areas, they will have the right to the PIF fees, not just on the areas specifically driving, they're saying driving this opportunity, but they'll have other areas that are being developed. And this is what concerns me, is there's other urban areas near Camas, outside of Camas, that are being developed and they're getting that benefit. The city of Camas and others won't. I mean, this is, you know, it's not a double taxation situation or double PIF fee. Right. So I don't want to call it a land grab, but I do want to call it that they're reaching out. You know, you said long term. I agree long term it is good planning, but somebody's getting a benefit that the local jurisdictions won't. That. So, that kind of bothers me
mm-hmm.
a little bit. But.
As far as the Camas land, it strikes me that this isn't necessary. There's got to be a way to do a quick interlocal to exchange some funds and make it happen without going to this extent.
Wasn't that our first reaction when it was presented to us to begin with? Like, why aren't they just asking for this piece? Why are they asking for all of this?
Why wouldn't you want extra PIF? You know, I mean, and then you turn around and you can get, you know, cheaper or easier properties to acquire. I mean, I get why they're doing it.
She don't ask it to your friend. Mm-hmm.
Well, keep in mind, people don't really give a rip whether the city or county. They want the park.
Exactly.
So we got to kind of keep that in.
From a pure point of view, yes, you're right. It gets more parks and it hopefully faster development of parks.
But Dave has a great point. That property that you've been waiting for the city to develop, like, I don't know, I'll let you speak to that, but it seems in our conversations you feel like the city's slower to develop their parks than the county is.
Well, and along with that, when we go to outreach, all I hear is the city doesn't water our parks. The city doesn't water our parks. They don't get the difference between city and county, but they see the difference.
Well, the difference is new parks versus old parks.
Right.
And we built 35 new parks, and they have a little higher quality to them because they're new, as opposed to the old ones.
Well, and just in terms of maintenance, though, Sybil, were you telling me that
someone's
you guys
closing.
Have to fence off two playgrounds?
Someone
Who was
said
telling
that
me
recently.
That? The city's going to have to fence off two playgrounds because they don't have the funds to...
Well, they're so antiquated. I mean, they're just...
So I just feel personally, I'm a homer for obviously Clark County because I'm on their PAB, but in terms of, like, our parks are, it seems like we're managing our parks in a more efficient way where they're open to the public and they're well maintained.
And they'll say the same the other way. So
well, I don't know.
We're just getting here back and forth.
Well, true, but we don't.
This is the whole reason we should not have got divorced.
Well, I agree with that, but, I mean.
We did.
But I just would hate to, I mean, I can't think of any of our parks that aren't safe to go into. And so I would hate to, like, turn over this big swath of land and then have parks not developed, or if we can do a better...
We don't do better. We all do what we can do. What we really should be saying is that might be the city of Hazelden. And we'll still have to have the same agreements. It doesn't matter whether it's the city of Vancouver or the city of Hazelden. When the people want to do whatever they want to do to make urban... issues come together so that they have police and fire and everybody. They will do it. And we have won a park system when this is all developed. And if we wait, you know, for a all through the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, there was no parks built in Hazeldale as the city was being built, a city, not the city. And it was a shame because it was harder for us to put those systems back in place after we'd already built the city. Anyway, I'm just ranting on that.
Well, you got the history to know it.
Yeah. As far as your list of concerns, I think the last one is by far the biggest one. Is no matter how well we may get along, you just never know.
I think you're absolutely right. That last one is the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
So as much as I would, I stand by my immediate reaction as I look at this as a really positive thing. I would really encourage looking for interlocal as a backup plan, so that the immediate work gets done.
I agree with John. I think pursuing an interlocal is. I'm more comfortable with that option than the other option.
Great. Well, I see all this coming out in the comprehensive planning process, and I think we're ahead of the game by even kind of working through some of this. But it does, I mean, we're not ahead of the game. We need to get these things into the hopper. I hope this is available when we are talking comprehensive.
One thing, Kelly, I think that they're actually looking at doing this probably this year.
Right now.
Yeah. Oh. This is probably.
Well, so. They're certain.
That's aggressive.
They may be driving their map and we're driving our map. Right. And the time frame is not going to necessarily be held by them or us. Mm-hmm. It's going to be held by politics.
The document that they presented, or that we shared, we know that it's just a rough draft. So we're hoping that we'll get more clarification when they come to that.
Yeah, maybe their presentation might clear a lot of things up. So it'll hopefully provide you some enough background so where you can make some good decisions.
I think there's three or four different options even beyond what we're hearing here.
Absolutely.
Coming together with a consolidated long range plan.
Sure.
System that would be above and beyond all the little things we're messing with right now.
Can we request that they give us a real map too, with like offset the boundary instead of these bubbles, so we can see what actually is
what
in
actually
that area?
Right.
Yeah.
That'd be helpful. Before that meeting can be better.
Sure. Okay. Will do.
Thank you.
So to be continued?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you, Bill.
As he runs out the door.
Yeah.
This is one of those moments where he's saying, yeah.
I think it's good.
Good luck with that.
So Park Standards presentation,
yes.
Matt and Bill, are you going to, is it going to be on here?
Yeah, I think we can do some of that up here.
Okay.
So,
Will.
I'd like to, first of all, introduce Matt Hall, who's our construction manager. And Matt has been invested with Building Our Parks since, 2006? Yeah, 2006. Ever since the MPD program has been invested and we started building the first of 35, Matt's been involved since the very beginning. So it's been very, very, very helpful in helping us to reach our goals here. So, you know, these documents that we've got up here, I think you were invested back then too, Matt and I, and we're in a room with Vancouver Clark Parks and with Gene Akers and talking about what standards should we adhere to. And so, do you want to talk about it a little bit, Matt?
Yeah, I can talk
good
about
to see you, Matt, by the way.
Yeah, the history a little bit and just kind of expand on what Bill was saying. So my role, back then and continues to be is park delivery project, which that means having the resources to design, permit, bid, and build the park. So that's what I've been involved with back in 2006 and worked real closely with Vancouver Parks back then because the county really didn't have a landscape architect component. So the planning and the landscape architecture came from the city, and they... And then part of the MPD was, once the once the money was there to go, there were strict budgets and strict schedules. These were going to roll out. And so when they developed the park standard, you know, there's the level one, level two, level three, and they ended up with a level two plus standard, which is kind of shown in your packet with the typical neighborhood park, which ended up being, you know, an open turf area, part of it being irrigated, play area, paths were important, landscaping. And that, a lot of the parks changed in that design depending on the size, but because of, you know, budget and schedule, we were rolling through these pretty quickly and rolling along. And so that was kind of the standard that was kind of through the whole program for 6-7 years. And so when Bill talked about, you know, the thought of changing things up, and the typical neighborhood park was 3 to 5 acres, and maybe that, you know, could go smaller, and you know, a change in standard on what actually is considered to go in. You know, I think that's all good information. I don't know if there's anything more.
Yeah, and then the other standards that we had set was, of course, you all know these standards, you know, our 6 acres per 1,000 standard, right, which Kelsey says is a D to start with. And I believe. And so that's always been our standard from way back when. And so it kind of shows on this sheet here, but it's interesting, you know, where, you know, we had the 2000 rendition to the left and the 2006 update to our standards on neighborhood and community parks. So it's pretty much the same. And it's timely to talk about this, largely because we're talking about changing our standards, you know, with all the work that our committees have been doing together, reducing the size of acreages as possible, because acreages are getting tougher to find. You know, it's hard to find that 3 to 5 acre. Can we settle for a half acre? Can we settle for an acre in size? And so, what goes into a park? You know, the old standard, typically, I'm not sure if it actually says it here, it doesn't really say quantities, but I remember the discussion, and that, you know, of a typical design, you know, 1 acre of a 5 acre park would be irrigated. You know, we'd have so many walkways. The walkways would be 10 feet wide or 8 feet wide. You know, we'd have a certain number of picnic tables. Those picnic tables would be standardized and all that kind of stuff. So what we're trying to do now is kind of reinvent that whole thing with different types of play equipment. Should we start building linear parks? Should our parks be, you know, as small as 1/4 acre? Should parks be something as simple as a trail with amenities along the side of the trail? I mean, there's a lot of things that we can do going forward instead of these, you know, our typical rectangle, you know, modules that we've got in place. And this has been, since 2006, our standard for the most part. So I think the important thing is we are going into the PROS plan here for the next year, you know, probably even at the end of this year, 2019, definitely 2020, and into 2021. 2021 of September is when the PROS plan actually expires. So we need to have a new one in its place before that expiration occurs. So right now is the time to be talking about this. And so I think we've actually, in this week alone, we've actually had discussions with some with the private sector on 3 different ideas that were floated out there. And so I think we're actually turning the corner as to how we're doing business. And so I think that working with the private sector, allowing PIF credits, looking at different standards of parks, makes a lot of sense going forward. So I think we need to embrace that, adopt it, and I think we need to, as a group, come up with a plan that we can adhere to, and that all gets loaded up into the new PROS plan so that it is right there in black and white. We can refer to it. It's our new policy. So
one of the things that when we did this, and I'm sure you remember that, we had hundreds of meetings with neighborhoods,
yes,
and communities. This was nobody liked any of this. It was 100 different ideas manipulated,
right,
around until we got something that we could build from. Because how many parks did we build in like 3 years?
It was 25, something like that.
25, right.
Wow.
In 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
We had to It was unbelievable how much work went into
it. See, it's, it says we acquired like 55 park properties within a short period of time, too.
Oh, yeah. We had to acquire.
Yep.
And... Right. And build it so the neighborhoods felt like they were there.
Yes. What's interesting about this 2000 to 2006, the 2000, that was before MPD, and what was holding us up is, yeah, you can build these, but how are you going to maintain them, right?
Right.
So there's no way to maintain these. So when the MPD was passed, that levy was passed, then that opened the floodgates to start building all these parks, because then we finally had a mechanism for maintaining them. So that was...
And the MPD was to maintain parks.
Exactly. Right? Yep.
Part of it.
So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a great task for the Parks Advisory Board to work on going forward, and from between now and, you know, when the new approach plan is implemented. So I'd say sky's the limit, you know, types of play equipment, types of other park amenities, you know, the trail systems, the types of play that we introduce into our parks, you know, the amount of natural features and all that kind of stuff.
And
you know?
Politics.
Yep, politics, yep. But if it's in the approach plan and it gets approved by our council, that's the news. So.
And the politics. If is the word you said, if you just heard.
Any questions on that? So the only thing I've been showing standards is like our design standards, you know, like, you know, what our picnic table standards are going to be, you know, like, so we can draft those out of any one of our park plans. But go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask, what would be the first step for us as a board to start, I don't know, changing some of these standards, or what we'd like to see, or just different ideas?
Getting them listed would be the first step, what we want to see.
Yeah. I think
it's important that we not just say that this goes in the garbage and this is a new.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it expanding, and that there's ways, like a standard picnic table. Today it looks like this, but without changing the pros plan, there needs to be a process for someone to come in and say, this one for this park is acceptable and can be considered standard equipment for it. You know, because when you put that label, here's our standard acceptable, it leaves you really rigid. Mm-hmm. And yet we say we want to be innovative. That means within our plan, we need to make sure what's in there is something that's flexible.
Right. And we just kind of, just for the first time in years, we actually changed our standard just a little bit for Otto Brown. Those are different tables, you know.
Yeah, they're really
benches,
cool, too.
Different walkway.
Yeah.
So, we can be flexible.
And it's a whole idea.
Not, you know, running them up, and every park is different, because at some point in time, we have to be able to maintain those and replace.
Sure.
So, trying to standardize a little bit is not a bad idea.
Oh, I understand that, but...
Yeah. But I guess the biggest hindrance is we probably don't know what we don't know, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to go out there and take a look around the country and see what's out there, what's cool, what are the kids using, what are they playing on, what draws them in. And that's probably your marching orders.
Okay.
Yeah, I think gathering data is the first thing. The other thing we've got to remember is how are these going to be implemented, how are these going to be directed. I'm a big fan of guidelines more than standards, if you will. But the problem is the interpretation of those guidelines, because you'll have to remember that every person that comes in to develop a park, or a developer, or anybody else, could or possibly have a difference of opinion.
You will. Always. Not possibly.
They will.
Will.
And so we need a functional process. Mm-hmm. That allows each opinion to be put forward and some type of compromise reached. So when we're talking about all these new innovative ideas, and I think that's great, but we got to remember, how are we going to implement? We need to come up with a process.
Exactly.
Because I don't know if everybody understands, DEEB, it says in their documentation they would like for this board to be the review process and approval for parks when they come in with different parks.
For credits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, for credits, but I can see that being expanded. So, you know.
But shouldn't we? We should.
We should be, but that's a time consumption. I mean, that's.
You want to build parks and you want to build them fast?
Yeah. I mean, we need to understand the process, and we need to understand and think future. What are we looking at? You know, what's 5, 10 years ago?
2006, 2007, 2008, everybody was dead in the water. And none of us really thought that, you know, we all knew it'd come back, but we never knew how fast, how robust. Now it's here and we're fighting that battle. So anyway, my idea is let's gather data, but the other thing to gather is how other people are implementing their, how other jurisdictions are implementing their scenario and their applying
process.
Their guidelines.
Well, the other thing is we didn't even have iPhones when we did that.
Sure. Right. I mean, you know, PowerPoint was a new fangled thing. And
yeah,
really cool.
I didn't have that.
So, yeah, we're way past that. So I just, you know, my thought is we are very soon, in my mind, needing to start creating these committees, subcommittees, whatever, how we're going to do this. And maybe one of them is a process subcommittee. The other one's the standards or, you know, guidelines. I'll use guidelines. I don't like to use standards. Guidelines committee. I mean, there's just we're going to have to divide and conquer here. So just
from the development side, I love standards with a variance process.
There you go. Yep.
That way you know what you're in for before you start.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's only fair.
The standards comes from.
Yep. And, I think that's only fair.
And that's 100%. Yes.
But I do agree. There should be flexibility of you know, whoever's.
But it needs to be a defined process for flexing.
Yeah. Good.
Okay.
Did you say we were going to be able to bring Jean Akers back to help with the new PROS plan?
Yeah. Well, she still works for conservation techniques, and she is. So she's not. She's
There'd
still
be great
available.
Continuity if we could do that.
I don't know.
Who did you say, Jean?
Yeah,
it's a possibility. So I don't know. We might have to go through a process. But
is she in town next week?
I don't know. Yeah, but no.
Well, I thought you had mentioned that was a possibility.
Well, she still works for conservation techniques, even though she moved far away. But so she's still available.
But her brains work wherever she's at.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like Kelly said, with. She just sends it to your phone.
Mm-hmm.
We could move faster that way.
So I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a process, you know, between now and, let's say, a year from now. So a lot of work. I think it'd be pretty exciting to go out and see what ways we can transform our parks into, you know.
Aren't you sad you're leaving us?
Oh, definitely.
That was all a joke. That was
just a joke.
That was just
anyway.
April Fool's joke.
I wish you much luck in coming up with some great plans going forward. So I think that it's time to take a hard look at these standards and modify them. You know, more.
One thing that's important, and it felt really hard at the time when we did these plans, but it's important not to feel like we're pounding people with. Standards. We need to have fresh standards. We need to think out of the box. And when you talk about your kids and what you want them to have, you're not out of line with any of that. It may feel like you're pounding on the door, but you're not really.
Yeah.
So it's important for us all to feel very open to new ideas.
Yeah.
Even though there will be that, but we can't do that. You know, we can do that.
There's always pushback.
And a 4 or 5 step, resistance, how would we get standards approved? I mean, if we came up with new standards or guidelines, would they go to the councilors? Or does it go through Public Works first for review? I mean...
Probably. I mean, is there a process you think, Matt, that we'd have to probably go through?
Well, it might be similar to back when we were developing the level 1, 2, 3. I mean, there's a big outreach, public outreach component.
Right.
And then prior recommendation, and then to council.
Yeah, we'd probably go through a process for the council to get their buy-up on it. So we'd do a work session. It would come up with our ideas of standards, maybe with some options, that kind of thing. And not necessarily having to lock down a certain set of standards, but just bring the whole concept to the council and let them buy off on it. And then
it goes to the planning commission first before it goes to the council.
Right, and we might have to go through all the different outreach processes, because we're probably, I don't know if we're changing code per se. We might be.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, so if we're changing code, it definitely requires a process all the way through.
And let's acknowledge that any time that we fall down even a little bit on outreach, it comes back and bites us.
Right.
So overdoing the outreach is usually better than...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Well, you know what's different about this process is it was because of the update to the PIF, right, that started about this whole outreach process that got this talked about or discussed. I think if we go through this process, I think it's going to be very well received, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
You guys have done a great job of getting that kicked off, and so it's just a matter of pushing that forward. So if we go back to the BIA, when we go back to D, we go back to the Planning Commission, I think they're going to like what we're doing.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking once again back, all the residents that say, oh, I never heard of that, never heard of it. Didn't do any outreach. We all know we did.
Yeah. And then open houses would be a great idea because we are, you know, really changing this on behalf of our public.
I think we have to go to the school.
Hear that
new school. We have to have the public outreach to the in the open houses. But the other side of the coin is set up a website, do some digital banners that say, come look, come comment, and and have them come in.
Yeah.
People get frustrated when they can't comment, right?
Yeah.
When they
SurveyMonkey, all sorts of easy
all sorts
ways.
Of stuff we can set up.
We're trying to adopt SurveyMonkey for as a regular tool going forward. Yep.
All right. Well, so maybe next monthly meeting we form a couple subcommittees and
I would suggest everybody start thinking about what area you would like to focus on. Number one, what subcommittees do we need to set up?
We have subcommittees, we got to use them.
Yeah,
totally understand. Yeah, and I agree with you completely, Kelly, that you know that has been a you know it would and whoever leads the subcommittee needs to be active. I mean, you can you know, as my dad used to tell me, you can only lead a horse to the water, you can't make him drink. So, you know, we can get all the invites out in the world.
I think if it's, like, project-driven, like we just saw with the Deep thing, like, we have a goal, you know, this is where we're trying to get. I think it keeps people engaged on it. So I hope that wouldn't be a problem in moving forward. So we'll...
Next meeting, we'll start formalizing maybe some of these thoughts and subcommittees and everything else. Because, you know, the PROS plan, all this stuff, is not very far away. It really isn't. We need to. And if we've got some momentum started, I sure would like to capitalize on it and continue it. So,
what are our thoughts on asking folks from the development community if they want to be on one, since they're especially concerned about the size acreage of our neighborhood and community parks?
I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
If we don't extend the olive branch or the opportunity, then you know we'll sure hear about that.
Well, it's a matter of they've got some very creative ideas.
Laura, they meet the second Thursday of the month. I can check. Deep does.
What's that
yesterday?
Kevin?
They met yesterday.
Was Deep this week?
Yes.
Yesterday. So the second Thursday of each month.
Okay. Maybe I'll pop over to their meeting and during public comment just say, hey, this is what we're looking into next month.
We need to do that with the BIA and then...
Yeah, there are several groups that I think would be great to become more active in our planning process for the...
And maybe we can come up with that list.
Well, part of our scope with the contractor, whoever is going to do this, will... That'll be part of their scope to come up with this list of who we are going to work with and how. So we may be getting ahead of ourselves.
Well, I'm thinking more in terms of the developers who want to build a park for us, keep it open to the public,
and
receive
what that
PIF credits in exchange for that, they would have more creative control, but we still talk about the guidelines or standards.
What is an acceptable park?
And so
is the question.
That is the question between our two communities continuously. And so I think we need their voice involved in that we're going to move forward with PIF credits, which it sounds like we're creeping towards. So I think there's kind of two scenarios. The parks we are going to build as the county, and then parks we may or may not accept PIF credits for.
And one thing I've always found...
Same standards, though, is what I'm saying. Yes, yeah.
An important thing that I always found in my work life is when I had a challenging group, instead of bringing a solution to them, making them become part of defining that solution gets their buy-in, and they're more supportive of making it work and actually functional. So I think that this is going to be a really important part of our planning.
I think we're a lot better prepared now than we were back when we worked on the first one. We're trying to put a division together, right? So now we have kind of a plan going forward, right? So
part of that was better. Getting our defenses down after feeling like we've been attacked, right?
You're right.
And now that we've had a little time to lick our wounds and look at what the positive that came out of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Well, again, to be continued. That's why it's called unfinished business. So we'll keep going on that. New business, consolidation of PIF districts. Thank you, Matt, for coming to talk to us. This is just us starting the general conversation, right? Pros, cons, people. Thoughts? Is that what we kind of talked about?
I think so. Yeah.
I don't think we really have any formal presentation for
we
it.
We don't have anything.
Yeah. No,
just consolidation of PIF districts. Well, actually, we do have a thought on that, and I thought we need to do that at this time, I guess, is the question.
Well, the city's done it, right?
The city has done it, yes. And if we want to pursue that, we certainly can. Is it a deal killer if we don't? Probably not. But I guess I need to reach out to all of you to see, is this something that is a priority? Should we press ahead on this? We do have a space on the docket for to get that done this year. And so we can certainly...
I think if we're in support, we should do it this year then, because you're going to start that fund as soon as possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we have a pro and con discussion?
Yep.
Let's do it. I love pros and cons.
Well, I mean, the original idea, especially now that we have trails inclusion into PIFs, is there's a lot less. If we consolidate, hey, Jeremy, can you bring up that ABC again that the city's got? That'd be kind of cool. Is that we would have a lot less districts to try to figure out where those expenses have to come from to build a trail that bisects all these different districts, right? And so that was a biggie. So I thought that. And plus, it also provides us a little bit more leverage in building parks because we're drawn from a larger base of funding. So we actually came up with this kind of concept ourselves way back in 2014. So here's, you can see all the different districts, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which the city used to have, and the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And so they have recently, using the highway alignment, so west of I-5, they have District A. In between I-5, 205 is District B, and then District C, east of 205. That was our same concept back then. We thought, let's make it that simple, because it's really hard to blow the lines. You know, mm-hmm. You can see exactly where we need to be. And so, if we're doing trail work, so even if we have to go across three different districts, it's a lot easier. You know, so we've got 9, 8, 7, 6, 5 to go across the county. And so that to me would be a benefit. So if we consolidate districts, that is the one pro.
I have a pro and a con.
Okay.
So one pro is these districts that are getting annexed, they have less, you know, PIFs coming in theory into the county. It makes it more difficult to build, purchase. Con is that B eventually is going to be squeezed out the same way of what I'm saying is a con. You know, as annexation happens, the urban growth is obviously going to be in A and C. So
right.
B at some point is going to be at a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which it would be anyways.
Yeah.
The way it's set up now. Yeah, it just, but it's not, it doesn't fix the problem forever.
We might want to just say that B in the solution to that is using this line here, so all that up there is grabbed into B.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Could do that.
Instead of making this one so.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Kelly.
Yeah.
Another pro is just, you know, continuing to partner with Vancouver, and this makes future transitions easier.
Well, B will be with B, A will be with A, C will be with C, so that'll make it easier from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
con is we have another set of funds.
Yep.
Until we expend all the other funds.
But now's the time to do it because we got the trails now.
Yeah.
This would be the better time to do it than when we wait till later. Yeah.
Right.
I have a socioeconomic concern con. So, always me with this. So we have this huge area, right? You have better organized folks in one area, maybe higher income, more organized neighborhoods association. They're better advocates for parks in their area, for services in their area. So squeaky wheel gets the grease. So they're pounding the pavement, trying to mobilize people for parks in this area. How are we going to make sure we're maybe in a more depressed area where people don't have as much time and resources to essentially lobby and advocate for parks and park property? How are we going to make sure that
Isn't that our job?
Well, that's the thing, though. I would want those fail-safes in place, that we're making sure that it's equally distributed throughout the county, and that we, or through the PIFs, and that we're not just saying, oh, here's a great piece of property right here, but we haven't bought a piece of property for the folks way down in this PIF district that really need a park, just because there's you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm worried about equality and equal distribution in these sections, and these smaller PIF districts target specific areas. They do a better job of, the pro is where that development's happening and where those PIF funds are stacking up. It's because that's where the people are moving and we need to build more parks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's giving you a more, like a bullet point of where parks are needed, where this opens it up to a lot more discretion from county staff and where parks should go.
Right. That's why we use a lot of the Census Bureau data that comes out every 10 years. In the latest plan, we'll be getting the census data and working with that. So you get a lot of that there, but it's our job too to make sure that we don't allow that data.
Yeah.
I'll just say that's my concern.
Yeah.
That's my
only
concern.
And that's no different than it is now, with because I know that's my voice, you know,
mm-hmm.
that we've got our little Hazeldale and then we got our little park pigs. Which we love. Which we love. Yeah, that disparity, and it's important. But as advisory board, that's our job to make sure that those little people don't get left out.
And I would just want to make
and,
sure.
And it just is the same as today, that we do that and we balance that. But yeah, I don't think this needs to be any harder than what it is. It's a very simple, get it done and move on so that we can focus on the really important things like the relationships.
I just want to interject that this has actually been a part of our conversation. And now that I'm on board, we'll be able to gather that data, my neighborhoods and my areas, whereas, you know, we didn't have the staff time or the people to be able to do that. And so that's one of my goals, because I need to collect data anyway for a variety of reasons, whether it's outreach,
fundraising.
Decision-making,
yeah.
fundraising. And so we will have more data to help support that process.
Yeah. That's my biggest concern with the whole thing. I mean, I see more pros, but that con is just, I want to make, and I think we have the mechanisms to prevent it from happening. I just want it stated that that's something that could happen if we're not careful.
Mm-hmm. So, just another con that I just thought about is if we enter into this and say let's press forward, all these districts are going to be reevaluated on how on expense and what it costs to buy property, what it costs to build in those areas. It opens the whole door back up again to 50s, and so that's all going to be opened up. It's going to require a contract. So it's going to require a professional services to get this done, because I was talking to Steve Dew. He says it's a big job. It's a big job to get it done. And so he said he can do it, but it's going to take a lot of work to get everything reevaluated, and then we have to present that valuation per district.
And it could decrease our 50s, is what you're saying?
Sure. Everything's possible. Absolutely. Because when we do the valuation, it is the here and now. So if properties are valued less right now than they were 2 years ago.
It won't be as hard as that, because we're not breaking up any of the districts. We're putting them together, not taking them apart.
Right.
Yeah.
It's hard for us with the city, because we have, we're taking districts apart, but we're not doing that in this.
But what you're saying is they're not going to just take those numbers and put them together and average it. They're going to rerun everything at that point in time.
Yep. Well,
which is also an argument for doing it now while we're at the high of the market.
That's correct. That's a pro and a con. So.
But if they go up, can you imagine the grief in the subcommittee I'll have to create again, guys? Like,
yeah, but it's just like past. Just because they come back with a number that says we should go up, we've made educated decisions before to hold off on requesting that because we know it wouldn't be good.
Well, there's a calculation right now to go up, though. I mean, it can't be just a recommendation. There's factors that are put together in that calculation that has been agreed to.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying. It
doesn't include the trails, though.
You still keep your same calculation. I'm not saying we deviate from that. I'm just saying if they go through this and they say our PIF should, based on the new numbers, go up by $1,000, we elect not to go to the counselors and ask for that because we know we wouldn't get it. And it would do us more harm than good. But it still needs to be done.
Before we see it, though.
It needs to be done, though, you know.
Right. Just be aware that it could go down $1,000.
Exactly.
So,
I don't know. I personally just don't feel like it's that broken.
I doubt it'll go down.
I personally don't. I think there's more. I don't know. Do you have an example of like where we've been hamstringed by how we have our PIF district set up?
Not really. No. I noticed that District 10, when we talked about this, District 10 hasn't been earning anything for the longest time.
Yeah.
You know, and so it is now finally taken off. And so there's a PIF sheet in here. But, you know, for like the last 2 years, I mean, quite frankly, I think for one whole year, there was like zero balance. There's nothing happening. And all the other districts were moving forward. And so I can see where 10 is like recessed, you know. Well. And so now it's taken off. And so it's finally getting a balance.
Yeah, but that's not going to be long term because there's not land for sale out there.
It's actually going to be probably the new frontier, so it's going to be
With 179 taking off, maybe we'll see a little bit more growth out there.
Oh yeah.
But I know that when we were out looking for land, there just is not that much.
Right.
So
I don't see where things are hamstringed right now, but it's just
so 179th is in 10.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll get their money here very soon. Yeah.
They're going to actually have everybody else away.
Yeah, we've been drooling for it.
Rolling.
Yeah, it's coming.
Should we do like an informal, like pursue or not pursue, round the table sort of thing?
The key is we have a slot right now, right, this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
We're on the docket.
So you know. Is it okay to go ahead, Ahmad?
Well, I just want to give you a little update on the 179th area and the funding and stuff that we're working with council on. So last few weeks, we've been meeting with committees that was appointed by the council to look at ways that we can fund all the projects. Practically right now, because of the urban holding, they know we can build, and because of the currency and transportation issue, know we can build the whole TIF area. So, we want to find a way to fund about $120 million worth of projects. 50 of them is going to come from the state to build the interchange. The balance of it has to be somehow funded through the county. So developing a public-private partnership with the development community is that if we can find a way to fund it and make the area reasonably funded, they can start moving with their projects and open up the area. So one thing that I would encourage Parks and Recreation Board to work with council in terms of ways to make the area more, you know, different developments, parking, development park and other open spaces that could be possible, because this is the last big public road boundaries that left that we can build a lot of stuff. There's about 2,000 acres of residential land that's going to be developed, almost 3,800 new homes. There's a commercial development office, industrial, that has to be developed in the area. So I think it's a great opportunity to collaboratively work together and look at that a little bit differently. Yesterday, we met with Killian. That was a good discussion. What's possible in that area?
Yep.
Open space and what could be done, public-private partnership. So I think I'll encourage the board to consider the special county council.
Thank you. Sure. Yeah, those opportunities are coming hard and fast. So not only the parks, but also the trail connections.
That docket slot, if we don't use it, it's not like, if we use it, it's not taking away some other docket item.
I think that's, I know it's open, and I think we can potentially, if we want to do anything else with PIFs, we can add that in there with it, you know, if we wanted to change some standard or something like that. But yeah, if there is one sitting there open, I think if we can use it, we can. Otherwise, it could be used for something else. Another thing is that Lori Lebowski's always been helping us with, as from staff side, helping us with these PIF updates, and she's going to be the new regional director for WSDOT. Yeah. Is that right?
Oh, really?
And so, yeah.
Who is?
Lori Lebowski.
Lori Lebowski.
Really?
Yeah, she wanted to be here today. She apologized that she didn't. She wanted to talk about this a little bit. Yeah. But so congratulations to her.
Good fit.
So I'll lose her on the staff side to help us, you know, through this process.
Yeah.
Through
PIF.
Hope she won't be here for our comprehensive plan.
No, there'll be somebody else.
They're dropping like flies.
It's getting more complex every day.
It's called age, Kelly.
Well, I think that we have a lot of things that we are looking at for our comprehensive plan. And if we got this out of the way before we get there, it really would be a good idea.
I think the more
just
tools
in my mind.
The more we get this stuff done ahead of the comprehensive plan,
yeah,
the more we can put in there, and
yep,
it actually makes it easier for everybody. So all these questions that people have, we can just point right to the,
yep,
the PROS plan and say, it's right here.
Yeah.
Dave would understand that. Just gives us better framework.
Yeah. That's just my thought is, let's knock it out now.
So do we need a motion? Do we want a motion to move forward, or do we want to say that as a board we... I think we should take advantage of this PIF consolidation.
I think we should have a vote if we want to keep it on the docket or not.
I'll go ahead and move that we pursue the PIF consolidation.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. That never happens, guys. It's good to have diversity.
So. Yeah.
All right, again, to be continued. So next steps, what month is that scheduled for?
So motion carries.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a process involved, and has to be, Commerce has to be notified. There has to be a CEPA. So we'll have to work with, we can work with Lori quickly to come up with that process. It's the same process that we used for updating the trails. And so... we'll need somebody from either community planning to help us with that, or I don't think that's not Matt Herman's specialty, but we'll have to come up with somebody from community planning to assist us.
And then
process.
Steve will have to do the whole...
Yep,
mm-hmm,
go through the valuation and all that kind of stuff. So, and he was planning to do that this last year, we just didn't have the time.
Yeah.
So, but he's fully capable. I think the contract is still there, is that right, Kevin?
Yes.
Yep, so we can move ahead.
All right, the last manager's report from Bill.
Okay. Well,
well, I'm leaving, so I didn't first. Yeah, I didn't take down today. Have you noticed?
He said, I did nothing.
Yeah.
I just.
I didn't prepare anything, but I just want to let you know that Kevin and I had a meeting today with Berger ABAM, and just a little progress report that they are moving along very nicely with the Goleta parking lot and the children's garden. So is that 80%? Is that, Kevin?
Their plan set is getting close to 90%. Maybe they're submitted for the application conference with the county. Once we get through that, then we'll submit for the site plan review. And then we'll go through that process. And it'll be another 78 days for that. And then we'll go into construction plan review.
Yep. So moving forward, and the same thing with Hawkinson, disc golf, and the bridge crossings in. So, so he presented to us on both those projects. So that's cool. that's really about it. Other than that, this is my last meeting, so I will dearly miss all of you. And so this is one of the highlights of my job is being here at this meeting and listening to all you brainiacs talk and having a good time. And so I just I will really truly miss this. But I can always come back and be back there in the audience and engage that way as well. So,
well, we hope you will be.
Yeah. So I'm not going anywhere. So
we hear there might be an opening.
No, but I want to
make sure. And the pay is right.
He's not buying it, yeah.
And the pay is right.
I just want to make sure that we leave the Parks Department in good hands, and I know we are. And so, good continuity. Things are going to keep moving forward just like they have been. So, nothing's going to get dropped because I'm leaving at all. Uh-huh. So we're trying to get all those ducks in a row. But
I will be around. The company's making for you.
I just want to thank you for being just an elite set of volunteers that dedicate yourself to this mission. And so you got to put your long range hats on and really reach deep sometimes. And I really appreciate all the things that you've done for us.
What is going on with the vacancy?
So we're going to have an interim and.
Vacancy on the board.
Oh, on the board.
What about Jim?
I asked Jim if he'd like to be a part of this, and he kind of nodded yes, but he's never given a solid.
Right.
So I think what we'll do is we will go back to the council, or actually go back out to add. Does that make sense?
So we're going to need some depth in planning for this next member. So I hope we can at least make some kind of a plea to the board to get some strength.
Kevin just nominated you, Bill.
Make a motion.
That's a motion.
I think it's a little early. He probably wants to run away. What about Sybil?
You can have next month off. So then you got.
She got skills. She got skills.
Well, I don't think we can tell them who it's going to be.
No.
We need to at least try to give them some.
I'm just saying.
In what we're looking for.
The skill set we're looking for, yeah.
Bill
or Kevin can do that, yeah.
And we will need a lot of input from the development community.
Sure.
We need them on our side, not the other side of the fence.
Right.
So we'll.
But there isn't a side. It is all our side. We are.
Mm-hmm.
All our side. All our side.
None
on
our side.
Agreed. So it's going to be a lot of work.
It's going to be a lot of work. It was
that description that their standard description doesn't.
No.
That's true.
And the prospect took us, 14, 15 months last time? It was a lot. It took several 4-hour special meetings to get that accomplished.
And if you decide to resign, I'm out of here too.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
But we'll reach out to Alyssa in the counselor's office and get that thing posted back out again. Okay. All right.
All right. Thanks for the manager's report. we just wanted to, if you can't join us for libations after the meeting, if you just wanted to give people a moment to say anything about Bill, specifically a nice thing about Bill, I guess I should clarify, just in case you won't be able to make it. So, you want to start? You want me to start?
You start.
Okay. I don't know if you remember this, but I worked for Brian Potter.
Yes.
When I was 20 years old in college. You were roaming the halls too, Kelly. You were very busy and important. I didn't ever get to talk to you, but Bill, I got to. You were very, you looked very
campus.
Important always. So I, but Bill and I met very long ago, and he was always so nice. I always just remember being oh, he's just the nicest guy. So, anyways, I just want to thank you for, getting the counselors to agree to put me on the board. I'm sure hopefully you said nice things about me, and it's fun that it kind of went full circle, and I started in parks and went away from parks, and now I have this opportunity to volunteer, and I really enjoy it, and I pretty much have you to thank for that.
Thank you.
Anyways, I just want to say one thing about this card. I'm really embarrassed. So I've had... I can't even
wonderful.
Tell you the things that have happened in my life in the past 2 weeks. I mean, we've had broken bones, death,
a new dog,
snow,
a kid home from school for a whole week with illness. I worked a lot. So anyways, I thought I'd have time to run and get you a card today, but I still have a sick kid at home. Kyle's getting his cast changed on his broken hand. So anyways, I didn't have time, so I had to find this birthday card for a young boy. And and I had to cut and paste with some paper to make it more applicable to the occasion we are mourning / celebrating today. So anyways, if you're like, what is going on with this, that's what's going on with that. So yeah,
it makes it that much more special.
Just logically, you're like, this is
could have called.
I know.
Just saying.
I don't even know if I have found my phone.
Oh, yeah.
Morning. It was crazy. So anyway, thank you, Bill.
Thank you
we'll
so
miss
much.
You so much.
Appreciate it.
Which way do you want to go? Barbara?
Favorite memory, huh? There's been a lot of them. First, I want to say, it's your warmth and your laughter that has engaged and pulled together so many people. And that's your success point. But my favorite memory has got to be seeing you in an apron cooking.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it.
I couldn't hear that. Seeing him what?
In his apron cooking.
Oh.
Both for the for the picnic and for the old apron. I love it. I love a man in an apron. Favorite memory. Moving right along.
Well, we're gonna have conversations and one-on-ones and all that, but since we're in this room and everybody needs to hear it, it's just been, I feel like I've known you and worked with you since teenage years, and it's hard to believe that the years gone by so quick.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you, Kelly.
Kale's like, I've known Bill for like 8 weeks.
That's a lot of Bill.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I've been sitting here trying to remember when we met. I think it was when it was, you know, Vancouver Clark. But Barbara hit it right there. You're just so warm and welcoming, and you've always made me feel part of whatever's going on. And I loved our field trips. And you just always included me. And I thought, he is such a nice human being. But I love your wealth of information. When we're on those field trips, I just get so much information, and it's just, I just thank the world of you.
Thank you. Miss you.
That's his next life. He can be the next Pat Gelada for Clark County.
Absolutely. He would be good at that. Right?
Yes.
He could write books. Yes, got it.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't get to know you longer. So.
Aboard.
Yeah. 2 hours. You seem like a really great guy.
Exactly.
I'll broken record. You're just an awesome guy. I've really enjoyed how steady you have been through all of this. That you always have a great outlook. You handle any of the adversity the same way you do the exciting stuff. It's just steady and straightforward, and it's just awesome. It's, the depth of knowledge is a huge loss to the county. There will be a lot of people calling you in future years. And
thanks for taking everything I was thinking about. it's just been a pleasure. You know, I think I met you looking at a property once. It was the first time. It was just random. Didn't know about the board. Didn't have any idea. I'm glad I got to know you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a real pleasure being with all of you. So I look forward to seeing you all in the future. So I'm not going anywhere.
Jay gets to say something, too.
Oh, everybody said everything. No. I guess the key is I met you through Harmony Sports Complex and the Washington Timbers, which at the time I was the president of the club. We were trying to get turf fields in. We were struggling, and you always gave us a helping hand as much as you could. We had some restrictions there. But, you know, it's funny. I've got the biggest thing I remember then and through this time is I've got a
sign up on my desk at the house that says attitude is the best, you know, most important decision you make every day is your attitude and how you go at things, you know, whether it's the steadiness, the positiveness, or anything else. And I guess that's what always will stay with me about you, seeing you in all those different scenarios, situations, people saying things, read a paper that was not, they called you out by name, and your attitude was, okay, but let's get this done. Let's go forward. Let's be steady. So I try to learn something from everybody that I have interaction with, and I think that's one of the biggest things I can learn is to keep my attitude positive, keep my attitude, going forward in a straight line. So that I will always appreciate and always remember working with you. So, and we'll miss you greatly. That is one of the bigger things, I think.
And we have a gift for you. The UPS person should be delivering it to my house like any moment. It's out for delivery. I've checked the tracking number like 10 times. So if it comes while we're at the restaurant, I live fairly close, I'll run home and grab it and bring it back. If not, it's coming to you at a later date. Sorry. But we can show you a picture of it on my phone later. Sorry.
You want to tell everybody what it is?
It's like a nice leather, very masculine looking carry-on satchel for your travels. Like it's that carry-on bag. For your trip to Palm Springs.
You got all kinds of trips coming up.
It looks like a very Bill bag. So that's a Bill bag. So I'm hoping it comes today, and if not, we'll get it to you soon.
So why don't you tell us, you mentioned to me all the things you have scheduled for this first month.
The following week on the 7th. So I'll leave the 3rd on the 7th. I'm going to Palm Springs, then down to Yuma, Arizona, dropping into El Cadones, Mexico, and then over to San Diego. So that's a week-long trip with a bunch of guys. And then they come back, we're going to go on a fishing trip with guys, and then I'm going to go after that a rafting trip week long on the John Day River with a bunch of guys, and then I take my wife someplace eventually. So we're going to do that, and then I'm going to work on my place. So I got a house on 4 acres, and I got to get that ready to sell because I need to downsize.
What about that week in Italy?
I haven't gotten there yet. I got a good friend who has a house there, though. So work on that. And then eventually I'll probably get back into working, volunteering for sure. And probably get a part-time job or something somewhere. But my wife's still working, so I'm going to keep her working for as long as I can.
Going to get that beeper back on, right?
Oh, yeah. That's great. So, no, I got I'm looking forward to this. It's great. So it's funny, after you say, I'm going to retire, just start sleeping better at night. It's really great. I'm gonna dearly miss the people at the job. I don't miss the rhetoric, but I'll miss the people, and the job family is so important to all of us. I think we can all say that. So that's what we all miss the most. And I always thought when somebody leaves the county, they're leaving me behind. A friend of mine said that retirements are kind of like funerals because you don't see them anymore. But at the same time. It's just you're really happy for the people who leave, and so it's finally my time. So it feels weird.
We hope you do.
At the same time, I'm really happy to start a new chapter and move forward. But you know what? I'm not closing any doors. I'm going to definitely be involved with parks. I've got a long history with parks, and I want to make sure that they stay successful. So questions, answers, all that kind of stuff. Being on the board eventually in the future.
You changing your phone number.
I'm going to have to. I can't have a phone right now, but yes, I will. I'll get that out when I get a new phone.
You work for the Parks Department.
Yeah.
33 years.
Yeah. Do we want to invite everybody out?
Kind of bittersweet in the regard of, I won't see all the people every day like I'm so used to and so fond of, but at the same time, I'll be doing some new things. So.
Where does your wife work?
She works for a developer, and so she's been in real estate for 33 years as well. And so she's still moving ahead. She's still kind of ramping up. She's a sales manager for Gidden, and he's a big developer in town with 8 subdivisions.
Can I talk to him?
Sure, absolutely. But yeah, so she's going strong. So I'll let her work while I go play.
There you go.
So.
There you
go. So we're going to Brothers Cascadia, which is on Highway 99 and like kind of 99th Street. It's kind of across from the Winco. On
back in the corner there.
It's back
yes,
behind
it looks like it. Yes, it looks like it's in a big garage, but I swear it's nice inside.
And kind of tricky to get into. You got to go around the corner.
You have to go around, yeah. You have to go around behind like that car dealership to get in there. So okay. Like turn at the light by where 99. You, yeah. Or the other
or
way.
Or you go the other way.
Yes. And it's back there. And they have food trucks with different types of food. Pizza.
The address is 9811 Northeast 15th Avenue.
But don't look for 15th Avenue because you'll be like, what is it? It's just right off of Highway 99. Yeah. Like,
okay. Where did you say you turn?
You can turn on 99th or the street. Okay. Like before.
So on 99, you're going to turn right. Where Dickie's Pot Shop used to be. That's the only landmark I can think of where that light is. Like Dickie's Pot Shop
she
is here.
Winco.
Well, I don't.
Oh yeah, I know where that is.
I never partook at that pot shop, but
that's Miller.
That's on the other side. Yeah, no, it's around there.
Yeah, there you go.
And now it's like a
guys, I'll move that we adjourn.
Oh, because we're.
Yeah.
I'm just using it as a geographical location. But yes, we'll call the meeting to end at 2:08-ish.